Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad He's with you?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Last week, we began to look at the subject of drawing closer to God. As I said, this Christmas message might be a little different than normal, but I just feel this is the direction that the Lord would have us to go. Amen. We want to be closer to God. Amen. The Word of God promises us that if we take the steps revealed to us in the Word, our Heavenly Father will draw near to us. It's a choice we have to make. It needs to be a desire within us that we want, above all else, a close relationship with God. And as we began to talk about this, what made it possible for mankind in general to actually draw near to God? What was it that actually enabled you and I to specifically draw near to God? It's the very thing that we're preparing to celebrate in 21 days, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Here in Matthew chapter 1, hopefully you're there, verse 22 and 23, it says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 and 12, we looked at this last week also. The J.B. Phillips translation reads, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you glorious news of great joy, which is for all the people. This very day, in David's town, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. Let this prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped up and lying in a manger.'" What an exciting announcement to those who have been waiting for the birth of the Savior for thousands of years. Emmanuel, God with us, was finally here. He had arrived. But what an exciting announcement to those of us in need of a Savior thousands of years later. Amen. God with us is actually here. He has actually come to open the way for all mankind to draw near to God. In James 4:8, one of our key scriptures we looked at last week, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." The word "draw nigh," as we looked at last week, means to join one thing to another. Jesus came to join God and mankind back together. They had been separated because of our sin. But through what Jesus came to do and what he accomplished on the cross, and through his death and his burial and his resurrection, he made a way for us, for God to be with us each and every day. Amen? Hallelujah. The first step we looked at in drawing closer to God last week was to take the initiative and humble ourselves before God. Multiple scriptures tell us to humble ourselves. It's up to us. God's not in the humbling business, and he's waiting for us to make that decision. He wants us to examine our lives, root out anything that's holding us back from approaching God on a deeper level. Amen. We also looked at Isaiah 57:15. The Amplified Version says, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, He who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also is who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent, bruised with sorrow for sin. God not only says he dwells in a high and holy place, but he wants to dwell with him who is of a penitent and a humble spirit. Glory to God. After you take an honest inventory of where you are at spiritually, you need to make a concerted effort to go after him with all your heart. It's really all about where your focus is. Are you focused on spiritual things, or is the majority of your time spent on things as they relate to the flesh? Is it spent on your job? Is it spent on your house? Is it spent on your spouse? Is it spent on your children? Whatever it may be, if it's concerning the flesh, that's where your focus is. Your attitude and what you're focused on determine the path you're going to follow, and it's going to determine the things that you join together with and the things that you draw closest to. Amen? Nothing wrong with being close to your spouse. You better be. Nothing wrong with being close to your children. But first and foremost, the thing that you need to be closest to is your Heavenly Father. Amen? Be determined to follow through and let nothing distract you from your effort to focus on God. We need to have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul had and the prophet Daniel had. We looked at a couple scriptures last week, and then we'll get into what we're going to look at today. But 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul said, "For I resolved to know nothing." This is the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians 2:2. "I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified." Don't want it. You can be an expert, but you don't want to be consumed about anything. Amen? The biggest display of knowledge you should have is about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Daniel 10:12 said, "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.'" That's Daniel 10:12. You can set your heart to understand. Amen? You can get into the Word. You can say, "Lord, I may not understand this, but I believe that you will show me. I believe that you will give me understanding in this." And you can set your heart that way and be determined. Amen? Maybe it's about forgiveness. "Lord, I need your help. I need to understand about forgiveness." Set your heart to understand forgiveness. Maybe you're having an understanding heart about how God could forgive you. Or maybe you know someone who's struggling with that. How could a loving God, how could God forgive somebody like me? That was something I struggled with. But you know what? I started reading every scripture I could find about forgiveness. And I started looking at it, and I started meditating on it, and I started praying about it, and I started thinking about it, meditating on it, and reading it again. And God began to give me understanding, and God began to give me clarity to where it became a point where I had peace about it. Amen? It should be that way in any area of our life. Maybe you don't understand about healing. Maybe you don't understand about prosperity. Maybe you don't understand about purpose or whatever it may be in your life. Set your heart to understand it. Amen? I don't understand what God's called me to do. I don't know what he has for me. Get into the Word and start reading and just set your heart to understand. Say, "Lord," and the Word of God says, if he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Daniel, he'll do it for you. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, God begins to move. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Everybody doing okay this morning? Praise God. Just a beautiful morning out there. Amen. A little chilly, but glory to God. Just a beautiful morning. Beautiful day to come and worship our Lord and our Savior. Beautiful day to reflect upon His birth. Hebrews 10, 19 and 22. The NIV version reads, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." The full assurance that faith brings. Do you believe that God wants a close relationship with you?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. You are His son or you are His daughter. And He doesn't want some distant, estranged relationship. He wants a great relationship with you. He wants to be able to communicate with you, to commune with you, for you to spend time in His presence. Amen. You need to have that full assurance. Praise God. Do you have faith that He will help you do what the Word says?
Yes.
You need to have the same faith. Amen. Your faith isn't just about, doesn't just that Jesus came and that Jesus came in the flesh as a baby and He grew and He grew in wisdom and stature, the Word says, of the Scriptures, and that He ministered and that He suffered and that He died. Your faith shouldn't just stand in that. It should stand in much more than that. It doesn't end with the cross. It just doesn't end with His resurrection. It just doesn't end with you being born again. It ends when you go to heaven. Amen? You should be growing in faith. You should be growing in trust. In that full assurance that God is there. That God wants that close relationship with you. That you can boldly enter with confidence. Amen? The most holy place. Hallelujah. We tend to make everything so spiritual, don't we? Everything has to be so hyper-spiritual, so unattainable, make it so difficult. The truth is if you want more of God in your life, just do what He tells you to do. Easy peasy. Amen. It can be. It can be so easy. But we make it so hard. Let me ask you something. If you're tired of the collar of your house, you don't call a plumber, do you? No? Or an electrician?
Nope.
Who do you call?
Clint.
The painter, right? You call a painter because they have the skills and the equipment and the tools necessary to make the change. Amen? When we wanted this sanctuary painted, we didn't have the skills or the courage to get 45 feet off the floor and paint. So we hired people and they ground out all the holes. Remember, maybe you weren't here, but many of you were. Remember up here and up back there, there was all them cracks in the plaster and there was pieces missing and they ground it all out and they went in there and they got back to where it was all solid and they filled it all in. Amen. And they did all that And then downstairs in the kids' room, we did all that work and we put everything in there, and it still had some flaws and it still had some seams and it still had some areas. And the painter came in and he caulked them all and he sealed it all. And then when he painted it, it was all fresh and it was new and it looked really good. And praise God, we didn't have to do it. Amen? Glory to God. You hire somebody. If you want a relationship with God, where do you go? You go to God. You go to the Holy Spirit. Amen? You don't go to books, self-help books. There's nothing wrong with reading some books, but this is where you need to spend the vast majority of your time reading. Amen? Philippians chapter 2. Look at that, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13, the Amplified Version says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. God is always at work. He's always there drawing you closer to Him. Amen? Mankind was created with a void. There's something inside of mankind that only God the Father, only a relationship with Him will fill, and only a relationship with Him will satisfy. People try to fill it with everything else. Amen? Their career, their family, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever you want out there. There are people who try to fill that hole, that thing that's missing in here that they desire. It's God has planted eternity, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the heart of man. God has placed it there. And God is always at work. And even after you become a child of God, He doesn't stop. He's there working, creating that desire in you to get closer to Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. As I shared last week a little bit about my knee surgery, I heard I was a little too graphic for some. Right? But think about a plastic surgeon for a minute. People go to them because they're unhappy with themselves. Right? They want to change. They go to the plastic surgeon because they want something cut out or something cut off. Things they don't want in their life. Or they may want them to add some new things in. Right? For a desired change. Some people go for health reasons. And some people go just to simply make themselves feel better. But there's two important aspects of that relationship. Number one, any of you have ever had surgery? What do they ask you to do? They put 47 papers in front of you. And they ask you to sign off. To give them permission to do what that you've asked them to do or what needs to be done. It needs to be done. Amen? Or you want them to do it, but you still have to sign that release form giving them permission. I'd done all that even the day I went in for surgery on my knee. They come in and ask me to sign them things again. And then they had me initial my knee and put okay on the knee that was supposed to be operated on. Put your initials right there. Amen? Which is real reassuring that they make the right choice, right? Got 47 pages, all kinds of documents that you're doing this, but they want you to sign which knee you're doing. You give them permission to do that work. And number two, as I shared last week, you have to stay in a fixed position long enough for the work to take place. So you give them the same thing by drawing near to God and humbling ourselves. We're giving God permission to draw nigh to us. We're giving God permission to change us. Amen? Many times we're not experiencing a close relationship with God because, number one, we haven't set our heart to understand. We haven't set our heart that this is what we want, God. We haven't really given Him permission. He didn't force you to get saved, did He? He drew you. He kept calling you. He was knocking on the door, knocking on your head, saying, "Hey, dum-dum, I got something better for you." At least that was, He was talking to me, dum-dum, not any of you. Right? So, we have to give Him permission. But the problem is, also, is we're too much in a hurry in our lives. Always moving to the next thing. Amen? We used to have day planners where we'd have our day planned out or our week planned out. Now we have it on our phone and we get notifications. Amen? It's time, you got an appointment, you get a notification and it's time to leave. You need to leave. So, we're always on this to-do list. We're always what we have to do next. If we're going to draw close to God and draw nigh to God, we need to slow down. We need, number one, to stay in a fixed position long enough to quiet everything around us. It can't be 3 minutes in the morning while we're brushing our teeth that we're trying to think about God and looking at a scripture we may have hanging on the mirror, and then we expect God to speak to us, or in our car. Amen? There's got to be some times where we just stay in a fixed position, quieting everything around us. Stay in a fixed position long enough to really place our focus where we want it and where it needs to be. And finally, stay in a fixed position long enough so that we can hear what God is saying to us. Amen? We want to make changes in our life. We've got to make changes. Amen? We can't just always be in a hurry. Can't always just be here and there and I'll catch up. I'll do that later. I'll read later. I'll start next week. Needs to start today. Amen? Fix our heart that we're going to keep drawing near to God until we experience the type of change that we want. As I said last week, I am not satisfied where I'm at in my relationship with God. Well, you're a pastor. Everything in your life's not just hunky-dory. You just don't walk supernaturally in the things of God. No. I'm only anointed to teach it. I'm not anointed to live it any more than you are. That's the truth. Amen? People who are called to teach and to minister, they're only anointed to teach it and to preach it. May be anointed to in the gifts of healing, but they've still got to live it out every day just like everybody else does. That's why so many people get into trouble. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 3. Praise the Lord. I want 2023 to be the best year that I've ever had in my relationship with God. And my heart desire is for everybody in here to experience the same thing. Say, well, 2022 was pretty awesome. Glory to God. You ain't seen nothing yet. You draw nigh to God. You keep getting closer to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Acts 3:19, the Amplified Version says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, Turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing, the literal meaning is renewing or reviving or restoring in spirit. Say, we always read this about our sins being blotted, and it's something bad. It can be just that we haven't been following the voice of the Holy Spirit that's been drawing us closer to Him. Maybe we've been ignoring it. He's been telling us, you need to read here. You need to spend time with me this morning in prayer. And we just haven't done it. Just confess it. And say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. But you know what the Word says? When you do that, times of refreshing. The same thing that He promised in the Old Testament is the same thing that He promises in the New Testament. That He will renew your heart and your spirit. He will revive it. Amen? Hallelujah. When you enter God's presence humbly and with the right heart and you stay there, something is going to happen. Amen. And it's only going to be good. Amen? A.W. Tozer said this, "Too many people have made coming into God's presence not only complicated, but also all but unattainable, discouraging many from trying. It's not a journey for the indolent." Anybody know what indolent means? I had to look it up. It means lazy. "Or for those addicted to entertainment and the coarse pleasures of the flesh, the fact that there are hindrances only emphasizes the value of coming into God's presence. If experiencing His presence were without obstruction, it would be without enticement as well. Someone has well said that whatever is without cost does not have value. When we think of coming into the presence of God, what could be more valuable than that? Certainly the importance of coming into God's presence is worth overcoming every obstacle along the way." Hallelujah. Amen. So entering into God's presence, drawing close to God, drawing nigh to God. How do we do that? As I shared last week, it's through His Word, through praise, through worship, and through prayer. So you can enter into God's presence by reading His Word. And we'll get into this a little bit more this morning. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You say, well, I've heard this before. As I said downstairs this morning, Pastor Karen and I were having this discussion the other day. And I do what I do for a reason. I believe that the Lord has anointed me and called me to pastor and to be a teacher and to preach the gospel. But the reason that I do that, and the reason that I keep doing it and will keep doing it, is I believe that the message that I share will change your life. I'm not just up here preaching for the sake of preaching and teaching for the sake of teaching. I believe with every ounce of my being that the messages that we share here, the message that Wow Church shares, will change your life. And it'll change it for the better. I believe that. I've seen it happen in people's lives. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in some of your guys' lives. I've seen it happen in other people's lives. I've seen people healed, delivered, people set free. Why? Because it's the message that we preach. And I believe in it. And I believe in getting into the Word of God. Because the Word of God, if you enter into the presence of God by reading the Word. And I'll show you how. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, not just certain parts of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is inspired. So how does reading the Word of God help you enter into God's presence? There's two aspects when you talk about the Bible that are critical to understanding how it helps you come into the presence of God. They're inspiration and revelation. Okay? Inspiration and revelation. When I say inspiration, I'm saying that Scripture, this right here, all of it, is inspired or given by inspiration. What does that mean? It means that when it was written down, it was through the direction of the Holy Spirit. It's God-breathed. What we have was put down at the order and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This isn't just somebody's idea. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Everything that you have here, that's recorded here, is here for a purpose. Moses wrote down what God told him to write down. Amen? Ezekiel wrote down what God told him to write down. Isaiah wrote down what God told him to write down. You can go on and on. The Apostle Paul wrote down what the Holy Spirit, what God told him to write down. It's not any man's opinion. Amen? And if you want to enter into the presence of God, you must decide first and foremost that this is the Word of God and that it is written by God. And what God says in here is the truth. Amen? It's not just 66 books written by different guys, different people. Amen? It's not just a gathering of fables, as some would have you believe. It's not a book of religion, as some would have you believe. It's not a book of philosophy. It's not written by men for men. But it's the Word of God written under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. It's written by God for men. It's written by God for you. It's God directly speaking to you. It's as if God took a pen and paper and wrote out a letter, handwritten, to you. That's the way you need to look at it. That's the way you need to approach it. So when you, it's like when you are reading it, it's like God is sitting right there with you and he had dictated that letter and you're reading it. Does that make sense? It's not just a book. It's not just some ideas. It's not just some good things, some good ideas to follow. It is God written to you. Have you ever got a handwritten note that somebody wrote to you to just encourage you and tell you things? And you read it and you're like, wow, that really blessed me. You ever got something like that? I got one this week from Bob Schmucker's daughter. And she just wanted to thank Pastor Karen and myself and WOW Church for leading her dad to Jesus, that his life had been changed, and that he loved everybody here and what an impact that this church had on him. Praise God. Amen. You know, him and his wife, Bonnie, are in heaven because we had an Easter egg hunt. That's why they came to church. They came to the Easter egg hunt. And I was standing out there talking to them. And I invited them to church and they said, we don't have anything to wear. And I said, well, what's wrong with what you have on? And they said, you can wear blue jeans. And I said, absolutely. I said, I wear jeans a lot. I said, now tomorrow is Easter Sunday. I won't be wearing them tomorrow, but come back next week and I'll be wearing jeans. And they came and they both, throughout their time here, made Jesus the Lord of their life. Don't discount the things that God has done here. Amen? Don't, well, that Easter egg, that's just a lot of work. And it just, does it, there's people in heaven because you came, some of you came and stuffed Easter eggs. And then you loved on them when they came in here. Amen? And you kept loving on them. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God speaking directly to you. Getting into the Word. Did they get everything in their time here that the Word has for them? Absolutely not. But they got enough. Every time I talk to Bob on the phone, he'd just be talking about the Lord. The day he passed, they took him off life support. They called his daughter back. They said, you better get here. We were at the Ark that day, if you remember. They called me and said, hey, he's going fast. Can you come? I said, I can't. I'm in Kentucky. 10 minutes later, his daughter called me back and said, he passed. He went from being in suffering and being in agony and fighting for every breath to the next minute he was in the presence of Almighty God. Praise God. When we talk about Revelation, it points to the fact that the Bible reveals the truth that we all need to know. That mankind was lost and separated from God. It reveals God's plan to save us from our sin, to regenerate us, to heal us, to prosper us, to rehabilitate us morally and transform us spiritually, and to prepare us for the coming day of the Lord. It's all in here. And it's revealed. It's progressive revelation. Amen? And as you read And you go to it with the mindset that what you're reading is inspired by God and it's God's letter to you, He will reveal more and more of it to you. It won't just be up here. It'll be down here. You ever been reading something and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I see that. And the Spirit of God on the inside of you just kind of jumps and does a backflip for joy and says, yes, he finally got it, or she finally got it. Yes. Amen. It's all in here. And as you read it and you accept it as truth, God will reveal it to you. And the presence of God, you will be ushered into the presence of God as you do that. Look for revelation. Look for understanding. Psalm 119, 130. Praise the Lord. Inspiration and revelation. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. I've shared this testimony before of we used to go door to door when we went to church in Xenia. And Pastor Dan and I were out one day and we were knocking on doors and this little gentleman answered the door and I started sharing Jesus with him, and he just started gushing about the goodness of God. And he wanted us to come and sit with him, and we did. And he was the only guy we visited that day. But he talked to me about, and he shared with that how he had been raised, and he started working when he was like 8 or 9 years old because his family needed the money, and he quit school, and he did not know how to read. And he said he prayed that God would enable him to learn how to read. And over a period of time, he would open the Bible and he would just try to read things. But over time, the Holy Spirit, praise God, what a testimony. The Holy Spirit taught him how to read. He said, I couldn't read anything else. He said, I could open the Word. And at that, he said, years later, he said he could read the newspaper. But he said, for years, the only thing he could read was the Word. And he knew the Word. What a blessing it was to talk to him. I mean, that is just awesome. Just think about that. The entrance of his word giveth light and gives understanding unto the simple. This is a gentleman who did not know how to read. That through prayer and just opening up and trying to read, that understanding came. Hallelujah. Amen. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Bible is the final authentic source book of information concerning the things that have to do with obtaining salvation and righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our becoming the sons and daughters of God and all the rights and the privileges which are attached to both. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. The Bible is the final authentic source book of information concerning those things that have to do with our obtaining salvation and righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ and becoming the sons and daughters of God and all the rights and privileges which are attached to both.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. The world would have you believe that there are other ways. That the Bible is outdated and mankind has moved past it. We've evolved in such a state of consciousness and wokeness that we don't need it anymore. But that's not what the Word says. So you have to choose. Are you going to believe what the world says? Or are you going to believe what the Word says? I know which way I'm going. You want to draw nigh to God and enter the presence of God? You need to have the veracity or the truthfulness and the sustainability of the Word of God settled in your heart. Believe that it's valuable and it's as relevant as it ever was. Because they'll try to tell you, the world will tell you that it's not relevant anymore. They're deceived. They're of their father, the devil. Amen? 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." And this is the word by which the gospel was preached unto you. The same word that Peter preached is the same word that we are to be preaching. It will stand forever. The world will pass away. All these religions will pass away. Everything will pass away, but the word of God will endure forever. I want to point out to you the first verse of Genesis and the last verse of Revelation. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Revelation 22:21 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." The Bible begins with God and the Bible closes with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in between is inspired revelation. Amen? And the key things that are revealed to us is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Good news of great joy to all mankind. Hallelujah. John 1:1, a couple more scriptures. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." And verse 14 in John 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Hallelujah. The Word became flesh. God with us. The Word that's revealed to us. The Word that is inspired here. Everything that we read from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is a revelation, progressive revelation of the plan and the purpose of God. And if you don't get it and you don't read it, you're not going to know. You want to be in the presence of God? Get into His Word. Believe that it's inspired and believe that He's going to reveal some things to you. And when you come out of there, you'll know that you spent time with God. Amen? Stay there long enough. Glory. Sometimes it doesn't take very long. You ever notice that? Sometimes you can read two or three scriptures and all of a sudden you're like, ooh. Other times you may read a whole book and you're like, oh. Depends on how long you want to stay there. Amen? Hebrews 4:12, the Message paraphrase says, "God means what He says. What He says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey." Hallelujah. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. He will lay you open. Amen? Just like that plastic surgeon, just like that surgeon that you give permission, when you read the word, you're giving him permission to change you and to reveal things to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. John 15:4, and we'll close with this. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." That word abide means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. When you go into the Word of God, believe that it's inspired. Believe that it's revelation to you and it will be revealed to you. Amen. And stay there with an expectancy that something is going to happen. Amen. God is going to speak to you. God is going to minister to you. God is going to give you peace about things that you've read, or peace in that situation, whatever it may be. Just go there with that expectancy. Amen? That God is going to show up. He's here. Amen? That you're going to stay there long enough that things are going to change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is inspired. And Lord, that it's a direct message from you to each and every one of us. And Lord, that you didn't put anything in there that wasn't for us and wasn't to us. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that as we read it, with that expectancy, that you're going to reveal yourself to us. You're going to reveal the truths that are contained here to us. And you're going to open our eyes, Lord, to things we've never seen before in your word. I just pray that for each and every one of us, Lord, that 2023 will be the best year that each and every one of us will ever experience to this point in time in our relationship with you. Lord, that we are just now preparing our hearts. Maybe right now we can't see and we can't say that with a certainty and believe that. But Lord, I thank you and praise you that over the next few weeks, as we purpose in our heart to understand you, purpose in our heart to draw nigh to you, Lord, that you will show us the plan that you have for each and every one of us individually to draw nigh to you. Thank you for that. Praise you for that. And give you all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.